You're listening to Banal Leakage, episode 31. They say it's your birthday. So a week ago Sunday was my wife's birthday, and this last Wednesday was my birthday. Two Leos together. You know, it does work for the most part, but we have our moments of wanting to be king of the jungle. We have our little thing that's 92.8. 92% of the time it's awesome, and 8% it's like, grrr. So anyway, happy birthday to us. So rain cooled things off here this last week. I'd like the temps to get back up to the low 90s again. I don't mind a little rain every so often, but it pours all at once. You know, just pour, rain, flood. And it's just a waste of water. It doesn't really go anywhere, you know. So I'd like to see little trickets of rain every so often. That's not so bad. So with that, let's start the news. San Diego Comic-Con sues Salt Lake Comic-Con. So for years, San Diego was the only Comic-Con gig going, you know, and people flocked to that city in droves and in costume to show their geek side and love for their fictional character lore. But over the years, other cities started having their own Comic-Con shows. Like this year, Salt Lake Comic-Con. So the Salt Lake Comic-Con's been around for just since last year. They just barely started up. So, it's been pretty good. You know, it's been very good. Very successful last year. They had a fantasy con type of show, or X-Fantasy or whatever it was called earlier this year, and now. So the second Salt Lake Comic-Con is this September. So this year at the San Diego Comic-Con, Salt Lake drove a car. So Salt Lake Comic-Con minus the dash in its name. That's important. Drove an ad-laced car around the San Diego Convention Center to promote their upcoming show here in Salt Lake on September 4th through 6th. The San Diego officials got wind of this. They sent a cease and desist letter to change for the Salt Lake Comic-Con to change their name because it was confusing. Salt Lake dug in their heels, didn't want to change, and then the lawsuit was filed this last week. So, you know, personally, I don't see what the conflict is. You know, so, you know, I can see the naming conflict maybe, but you know, unless San Diego wants to start taking their brand to every city, you know, like San Diego Comic-Con in Boston, San Diego Comic-Con in Salt Lake City, San Diego Comic-Con in Florida, San Diego, you know, I mean, there's San Diego Comic-Con with a dash. So that's, again, notice the difference there. So it's a big difference when it comes to lawsuits and naming conventions. So, you know, so many other Comic-Con shows out there. Is San Diego going to start suing them as well? You know, obviously they're not going to, you know, they're not taking their show on the road. They're going to keep it in San Diego. You know, are they going to force them to change their names? You know, but, you know, I don't, you know, I can't think of another name to call it, you know, the Comic Convention, Comic-Con, you know. You know, this pissing match just takes away from what the fans and their love of the characters created and celebrated. So we will see how this plays out. Six Flags Magic Mountain is shutting down Colossus roller coaster. So August 16th is the last day the coaster will host riders. The coaster opened in 1978 as the tallest and fastest in the world. I rode this ride for the first time in 1983. It was my second visit to the Valencia, California Amusement Park, just outside Los Angeles. The coaster was featured in the 1983 movie National Lampoon's Vacation. If you remember that, you know, Chevy Chase, and he forced John Candy on the ride, and, you know, with a gun and everything. You know, they broke into, you know, Wally World, which Wally World was Magic Mountain, you know, and just rebranded for the movie. So, anyway, kind of cool, you know. Six Flags is wanting to reinvent the area where the ride has been for the last 36 years. You know, it's always sad when a ride like this closes down. Many fans still like this ride. And, you know, it's one that's going to last in the memories of thrill-seek roller coaster riders. You know, I would love to go down and ride it. You know, time doesn't permit it for me. But, you know, one last time, it would be really cool. So, you know, so if you live near LA, in the LA area, and you want to go ride Colossus, now's your chance. Last few days here, so. MTV celebrated 33 years since their beginning. That was on August 1st, 1981. So the first music video ever played was Video Killed the Radio Star by the band The Buggles. The original VJs were Martha Quinn, J.J. Jackson, Mark Goodman, Nina Blackwood, and Alan Hunter. So most of those are DJs on Sirius XM. J.J. Jackson died some years ago, but regularly listen to Alan Hunter and Mark Goodman on Sirius XM channels. The concept of music videos took off, changed the world of music. I mean, it was just huge. I mean, just it just took off right away. There was no question of, wow, this is, putting faces to the voices, if you will. You know, Duran Duran was one of the bands to really get into making music videos. You hear the song Real, what do you picture? You picture the band on a boat and, singing. You know, there's Simon Le Bon singing the song. So, Michael Jackson was huge and embraced music videos. They became more than just playing the song against a video. So things, there were short films like, Thriller. Thriller played constantly on MTV when it came out. It was huge. I think it was 25 minutes long, and they just played it back to back and constantly, And I used to watch it back to back sometimes. It was pretty awesome. I loved MTV, and I watched it a lot back in the early days when it first came out. I had just graduated from high school. And I had a friend whose parents had cable TV. They had two boxes on their TV. One said HBO, and the other was for cable channels. It changed how TV was viewed. The channels 2 through 13 were the standard for decades. And now we had cable TV. So today, MTV barely plays anything related to music. Most music videos are on Vivo or Yahoo or YouTube. So, one day that might change again, but I doubt it. The online world is pretty much taken over now. So. This week's rant, compete, don't take down other companies. So a common ideal is to spend oodles of money, millions and millions of dollars, to take down your competition. It's oil companies trying to kill solar and wind power. It's taxi companies trying to take down Uber and Lyft ride sharing service. It's the car dealers trying to keep companies like Tesla from offering a different and innovative way of selling their electric cars. So I'm not against capitalism. I really am not. I'm very liberal, but capitalism, you can thrive. But I wish those who lead these companies and organizations would learn what competition is. Capitalism does not excuse competition. Capitalism isn't about going out and taking down everything without competing, removing all your competitors. Competition is important for business. I mean, if you're the only game in town, who are you going to compete with? You're just going to raise your prices. You're going to, spend as little as possible on customer service and just give people what you think that they need without anyone else coming in and taking their whole thing. Just like the whole, this Comcast Time Warner merger that's going on right now. Comcast buying Time Warner, that's removing competition, even in areas they don't compete with. So if you're that weak of a business where you feel threatened by new and innovative companies reinventing your trade, then I feel bad for you. You know why? Because you can't compete. You don't know how to compete. You don't want to compete. You're just all about greed and removing every competitor in your wake, in your path. You can't be the only game in town, like I just said. Businesses like Circuit City found that out when they tried to shut down every one of their competitors. That really was their mantra. I mean, they went out and they tried to remove everyone that competed against them. Where are they at now? Out of business. Store empty. I still have an empty store a few blocks from my house here that has not been reconstituted for another business. It looks like an empty Circuit City without the sign. They're out of business. So don't fight other companies. Join them. You want to compete? Oil companies? Hey, nothing's stopping you guys from getting into solar and wind power. You know, yes, oil is your main business, but you know what? Things change. Taxi companies? Huh, maybe you should make an app and learn what GPS is and use it to gain new customers. So, you know, stop spending lobbying money and, you know, just get into, competing, you know, newer business. The markets change. You know what? There's money to be made from new technologies. Learn to do that. Learn to make, embrace the newer technologies. This week's shameless plug. We're going retro here. Calling time on the phone. So I grew up in the 70s, 60s and 70s. So, yes, we had clocks on the walls. We wore watches, there was all sorts of ways of telling what the time was. We could turn on the TV and the news would tell us what time. We could turn on the radio. Hey, it's 10 minutes past the hour. And, so there was, different ways. But if you wanted an exact notification of what time it was, you could simply pick up the phone. In my case, it was a dial phone. And you dialed 853-1212, and a recorded message would say, at the tone, the time will be 8:12 and 20 seconds. Beep. And then it repeated this every 10 seconds at the top of the minute. So at the top of the minute, it would replace the seconds count with exactly. So, it's 8:12 exactly. Beep. So I'm not sure which parts of the country had this, but I grew up in Southern California, and this was in pretty much every area code down there, 714, 213, 808, or 818, excuse me. So, you could either dial the 853 or a 767 prefix, followed by pretty much any number. I always knew it as 853-1212. This went away in August of 2007. Wow, so it lasted quite longer than the technology had been around for quite a bit. I mean, cell phones first came out, in the mid-80s. So through August of 2007. So no longer can you check the time by dialing a phone number. It's not like we don't have cell phones that constantly sync the correct time over the wireless network. We have computers, we have, like I said, smartphones, cell phones, just about any other option, and we still have the good old watch and wall clocks to check. But, it's a part of history and part of what I had, and I liked it. I always enjoyed it, rest in peace, calling time. Thank you, sir. May I have another? Want to leave feedback? Email podcast@banalleakage.com. Thank you for listening, and as always, if you can't be specific, just be random.